The following assumes that you are lying on the floor in semi-supine, but it all applies whatever position you are in and whatever you are doing. We have already gone through your basic directions. Allow your neck to be free. Allow your head to have a forward and outward direction relative to the top of your spine. Allow your back to lengthen and to widen. And allow your legs to release out of your hip sockets. This is a summary of conditions or key relationships which you want to foster between the parts of your body. These directions form a sort of strategic plan or executive big picture, and your nervous system will work out the detail as you allow it. It is intent without doing, intent without being attached to a necessarily immediate outcome. These directions are a sort of base layer or first layer of directions. Now we're going to add a second layer of awareness and thought, which lines up exactly with the first. Without in any way changing anything, turn your attention to your breathing. Note, you can observe without altering what you are observing. Do not try to do anything in particular. Don't try to get anything right. In short, don't try. Just observe. You are alive, and so you're breathing. That means that air is going in and out, and something in you is moving to accommodate the change in your inner volume as the air goes in and out. Quietly observe what is moving in you to accommodate that cyclical change. Over 3 or 4 or 5 breaths, just quietly observe. Primarily, what moves when you are lying down quietly is your abdomen. Your abdomen rises and falls. Just observe, as if from a distance. Other parts may move as well, for example, your ribs, but primarily it will be your abdomen. Gentle movement of the abdomen is exactly what one would expect in someone who is lying down. Your position on your back slightly constrains movement other than at your abdomen, and there is little demand for air, so the movement defaults to the abdomen. What would be different if there were a greater demand for air? For example, if you were running, or singing a long phrase, or addressing a large auditorium. Your ribs would probably be more involved. But how? Consider the shape of your rib cage. Your topmost ribs lie just below your collarbones, and the bottom edge of your rib cage is easily felt at the front as it falls away from the middle of your chest. Now, consider the back half of your rib cage. That is, the back half of your chest. Your ribs start at your spine, and they wrap around to the front of your chest, dipping down a little at each side. The back half of your chest is the back half of your rib cage, and it can move. Potentially, your entire rib cage can move. Now, of course, when you're lying down quietly or sitting quietly, there is no great demand for air, and so there is no need for much more movement than that of the gently rising and falling abdomen. But should the need be there, should you be doing something more strenuous, should you need to suddenly move, your entire ribcage is potentially capable of movement. This movement can often be observed in a dog or cat, or felt if you rest a hand lightly on the animal's side. What you will notice is a sideways movement of the ribs. In a person, the entire back half of the ribcage, as well as the front, can move. The ribs articulate with the spine, and they can swing out sideways towards the arms. In other words, the ribs can open or spring out to the sides, and the whole back half of the ribcage is involved in this. Remember, you're just quietly observing, not doing. Observe in the light of these ideas, but don't try to do them. Simply observe the movement of your breath in the light of the idea that the whole back half of the ribcage can open out slightly with each breath. It is only slight, if at all, because of the position which you are in and because you are relatively inactive. The greatest potential change in chest volume is available not through lifting the chest, but through this sideways movement of the ribs. That is, the most effective and efficient way of shifting air is when you allow the sides of your back, or the back of your sides, to move outwards. Again, don't do. Just quietly observe in the light of this information. Now come back for a moment to your basic directions. Allow your neck to be free. Allow your head to have a forward and outward direction relative to the top of your spine. Allow your back to lengthen and to widen. And allow your legs to release out of your hip sockets. And now, think of allowing your back to breathe. The back half of your chest is the back of your ribcage, and your ribs substantially give your back its shape, and they can move. They have the potential to spread out sideways with each breath. It will be only a little, if at all, when you are lying down, inactive, but the possibility should be there. The ribs can have the freedom available to release gently sideways with each breath. So, in effect, your back breathes. Remember not to do, just to think or observe in the light of the idea that your back breathes. Your back can gently and quietly inflate just a little with each in-breath. Don't force it. Don't try to make it happen. Don't push in any way. Just think it and let it happen. Now come back to your abdomen, gently rising and falling all by itself. As air comes into your lungs, it displaces your abdominal contents downwards slightly, towards your pelvic floor, and the front wall of the abdomen elastically accommodates this change in volume as it goes out. This is an elastic response in the lower half of your body to air moving into the lungs. Your abdomen goes out a little at the front. Now consider the back wall of the abdominal cavity. This is the back of your waist. The back wall of the abdomen, the back of your waist, also has the capacity to elastically give a little on each breath. So the back of your waist can soften and ease a little on every in-breath. So now, you are allowing your neck to be free, allowing your head to have a forward and outward direction relative to the top of your spine, allowing your back to lengthen and to widen, and allowing your legs to release out of your hip sockets. Allowing your back to lengthen and widen includes allowing the back of your waist to have a little elastic give on each in-breath. Breathing is a continuous, natural reflex movement which emerges out of your general conditions. As with the way you use yourself generally, your ongoing task is to minimize interference with what is natural. Breathing continues all the time. Steer your thinking and allow the elasticity. Just below the back of your waist, that is, across the back of your pelvis, also has a surprising amount of give. It may feel more or less bony, but a surprising amount of release may be available across the back of your pelvis. Think of allowing the back of your pelvis also to breathe. That is, allow a little rhythmical release with each in-breath. In fact, whilst air goes only into your lungs, which are covered by your ribs, the movement of your ribs does not occur in isolation from the rest of your torso. The ribs, moving, extend from the top of your torso to roughly halfway down. Then the waist can rhythmically release and tone with each breath, and even the back of the pelvis, likewise, has some give. In effect, the whole of your torso is directly or indirectly involved in the mobility of your ribs. The whole of your back breathes. Your back is a structure, but it has this rhythmical element. It breathes. Everything from the roof of your mouth, which is the base of your skull, right down to your pelvic floor, is affected through the breathing movement, if you let it be. In other words, your entire torso, from the roof of your mouth to the floor of your pelvis, becomes a sort of extended chamber for the breathing. Your whole back breathes.